Stephen. I'm the senior policy and advocacy officer for nonviolent peace force in South Sudan. In my work, I partner with local community, civil society groups, members of parliament to help them influence policies that civilians are safer in South Sudan. I was a national protection officer actually in South Sudan for the same organization for more than 5 years. And in that role, I did a lot of advocacy work. Advocacy work in NP approaches is one branch actually of what we think of in our unarmed civilian protection strategy tree. A lot of advocacy work that we did together with the community and my colleagues was how to ensure that women are included in local leadership in the protection of civilian site camps in Juba and also in Bentiu, where women had very little access to positions of leadership. We would actually talk to women about their rights to participate and have their voices heard, and we would help them think about what changes actually they wanted to make in the camp. So, for example, we had a case study of issue of women leadership and their inclusion in water committees in Juba POC, and that within the last 2 years and 1 year ago. The problem in the camp was like women had little voice in leadership, despite actually them being the primary user of waters in those areas. And this has caused unsafe collection times and long queues and disputes among women because of the long queues, so that each one of them wanted actually to have the chance to get water first. So our intervention was like women received awareness sessions and mentorship on nonviolent advocacy so that they can nonviolently advocate and demand or request for their inclusion in the leadership in the camp. So after that, they mobilized themselves into coalition and they gathered testimonies from their peers and other women in the camp and presented a joint statement to camp leadership demanding representation. Amazingly, the leadership started to include these women in water committees. Women now, they advocate for safer collection among other women, and actually they have gained confidence to take on broader leadership roles apart from water committees, but now they are part of the camp management committees in all the two camps. In my current role, actually, we are now doing global advocacy work. During the Geneva Peace Week in Geneva and the Peace Connect in Nairobi, I was part of the team and I witnessed the wonders that they did during the Geneva Peace Week. A team from South Sudan participated, comprised myself, Bahita, and then we have Gathag Biel, who was representing youth protection teams, and then another woman who is a very strong lady. Her name is Flora. She was one of the women protection team's representative. The meeting actually focused on how through presence, solidarity, and trust building, showcasing how community-led initiative via protection teams, namely women protection teams and youth protection teams. And in Juba, protection of civilian site, women protection teams accompanied gender-based violence survivors to services and has improved safety reporting within the camp and beyond the camp. And we have one village called Walga in Jonglei State for those who are in South Sudan and who have worked in South Sudan before. South Sudan community protection teams mediated tensions during cattle raiding and child abduction, which is a negative practice among many communities, especially the pastoralists now in many major areas in Upper Nile and Jonglei states. Importantly, community protection teams took the lead in the meetings. My role was to mentor and coach them in advance, helping them refine their what they wanted actually to share and how to make their words impactful. During sessions, I only added comments to reinforce their points, but all in all, they were the one at the center of what they wanted to say, and they actually knew what they wanted to say. They mastered their problems, and even they came up with solutions to those problems. Their words amazingly carried a lot of weight during the Geneva Peace Week, and even the same in the Peace Connect in Nairobi and other areas. They spoke directly from their lived experiences genuinely by sharing practical examples of mediation, accompaniment, and trust building. They helped international audience who were in the building to see how local community-led protection can prevent violence and build lasting resilience among the communities. This impact was clear. Participants left with a stronger understanding about what peace building, like the understanding that peace building is most effective, were rooted in community voices. This was made evident through follow-up meetings after the Geneva Peace Week. The audience and international community, they continued to actually call CPTs or community protection teams for extra meeting, one-on-one meeting to learn more about their amazing work in the field. So you may have heard us talk about in the last couple of years about how South Sudan program has had to get much smaller now that so many government have declared humanitarian funding. Now the community protection teams are doing amazing work compared to many of us, and they were just because they were trained and supported by NP for so long, and now they are fully providing protection to their own communities in the ground, which is what we hope for in the long run to make our work sustainable. The community protection teams are doing early warning responses. They are mitigating gender-based violence and protecting their own children in the community. So this is, according to us, is a paradigm shift where the community is planning, where the community their own interventions based on issues they have found themselves. They think to themselves, what we do to enhance safety in the camp. So they analyze what can work better and what cannot work. And as NP South Sudan, we are building our activities on what the community is planning themselves. They are mapping their problem through conflict analysis and problem mapping analysis in their communities. And even they propose their own solutions and interventions to the problems that they found in different areas in South Sudan. For example, to wrap up my comments or my speech, in Wulang, there are regular bombardment, and many of you have seen that and have heard that through social media. The community protection teams have created an early warning response mechanism or system where NP staff provide emotional support and guidance to creating a sustaining system in those areas. Their system have saved many lives, and they have set up patrols so that they can find actually and spread their work if they see signs of bombardment are coming in their areas. They go and alert their community so that they are aware of the dangers that are coming. And even they accompany those who are injured to the hospitals. These are just few things that community protection teams, amazingly, they are doing now despite the funding cut in South Sudan, but the work continues. This makes me think, like, what if we continue supporting these community-centered approaches? I think they can do a lot with less from us, the humanitarian partners.